So today we are looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. As we look at this, this is a really good refresher of the gospel. It is a good reminder of who we are in the gospel and what we ought to be doing. And it challenges belief versus action. So let's look at the scripture and dive into that. And it says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles and worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." So the idea here is not simply belief. And right off the bat, he gets into it and says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you." So right off the bat, Paul is addressing something he said before, which means he's bringing something to the forefront of their minds to say, remember the gospel, remember the gospel, remember the gospel. And I know as Christians, it's so easy to forget the gospel because we're continuing in life. Once we're saved, sometimes it's easy to forget about what Jesus did on the cross for us and that we're still unworthy of his grace, but he extended it to us anyway. But he says three things here. He says, "Brothers of the gospel, I preach to you which you received." So they received the gospel as in they heard the gospel. And then he says, "in which you stand." So they stand in the gospel. "And by which you are being saved." These three things. So received, stand, and being saved. I wanted to look at a few different passages here. The first one is talking about the idea of standing. It's found in Romans 5:2. It says, "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." This idea of standing is rejoicing in the hope, or in hope of the glory of God. This is a complete reliance on God. This is a realization: I cannot save myself, and all my hope is being put into God. All the eggs are in the God basket. He is it. And then the next thing is, "by which you are being saved." This piece of scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You see this phrase in there, being saved. So this is not the idea that being saved is we are working out our salvation. Okay, this is the idea that the gospel alone is saving us, but it is also making us aware of our sinfulness and therefore sanctifying us as we live our life. And so it is the power of God that does this. So in this passage alone, all of this points back to God. And then it goes on and says, "if you hold fast to the word I preached to you." And then he says this line. He says, "unless you believed in vain." John MacArthur has a really good breakdown of this part of the verse. He says, "by this qualifying statement, Paul recognized and called to their attention that some may have had a shallow, non-saving faith." Some believed only as the demons believed. That's found in James 2:19, where he says, even the demons believe that in God, and they shudder. So that, like, the demons aren't saved, but they believe in God. And he makes, and John MacArthur makes reference to that. But he continues to say, he says, they were convinced the gospel was true, but had no love for God, Christ, and righteousness. And it's funny that MacArthur puts it like that, that they had no love for God, Christ, and righteousness. You cannot separate any of those things. You cannot just love God and not Christ. You can't love Christ and not righteousness. You have to love all three of them, because that we are called, that once we are saved, we are in, made as a new creature. And then our goal and our eyes and everything should be set on things of above. And that is righteous. Those things are righteous and holy. And so if that's the case, we have to love righteousness as well. And so it's funny, because I thought about this right as I read this, like, is it possible to believe that the gospel is true and not be saved? And it is possible. I think of different things as an illustration in our lives. There are so many people out there, including myself, that know without a doubt that eating healthy, I believe that eating healthy and exercising will help my lifestyle and improve my lifestyle. But do I do it? I try, but there are others that would say, no, I don't do it at all. I know that that would help me, but I'm not going to do it. They don't act on it. It's, and then you see others that would even go so far as to go, yeah, I believe it. And they lie and say they're doing it. And then you don't see any change in their body at all. Like, you still see, like, and I'm not just talking about the way they look, but their attitude, the way they present themselves, the way their lifestyle alone, is it more active, or do they say that they're working out, and then most of the time when you call them on the phone, they're sitting on the couch eating Cheetos? Like, it's that sort of mindset. Well, what's interesting is Jesus addresses this. He addresses this in Matthew, and he talks to a group of people found in Matthew 7, and starting in verse 15, and he says this. He goes, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Right off the bat, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So Jesus addresses this. He addresses false prophets, these people that could possibly believe in the gospel, but are not living their lives in accordance to the gospel. They do not love God, they do not love Jesus, and they certainly do not love righteousness. And Jesus is saying, beware of those people. And Paul is, in this passage in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, unless you believed in vain, are you true to the gospel of Christ? And by that, have you received it? Are you standing in it and being saved by it and through it? And so then Jesus goes on and talks about, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so when I looked at this, it was immediately a self-examination. How am I doing? Am I bearing fruits of the gospel? Like, the impact of the gospel, because I believe it's true, but is the impact of the gospel in my life, is it bearing fruit? See, we see this later in the passage, even with Paul. So he goes on and he explains the gospel, but he says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. So Paul addresses, I'm not telling you any different than what I was told by Jesus. And he says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. And so then he starts addressing the proof. He says, hey, these people, you know, these people, Jesus appeared to these people, and these people are trustworthy, and you see their fruits. That's what I find very interesting. And then but at the very end, he says this, he goes, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He immediately talks, he says, there's fruit. There's fruit in his life. He is what he is because of the gospel of Christ. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, and here we see the fruit. He says, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So my question to you is this. Are you, like, do you have fruit in the gospel? Because if you're saved, the illustration here is that if you're a good tree bearing good fruit, or are you a bad tree bearing no fruit? It's not necessarily bad fruit. It's no fruit. And so are you someone that when you heard the gospel, you received it and you stood in it, and then you are being saved by it. So you are growing in the faith. You are living it out and being honest, saying, I'm not worthy, but I'm going to work at it. Because I want to love God, I want to love Jesus, I want to love righteousness, and I want God to work on me. I want to know that I believe the gospel. I want to know that I am moving forward in my walk with Christ. And so if that's you, I would say sit down and examine and pray to God and ask for forgiveness for the things that you have been doing or haven't been doing. Pray for your unbelief. Maybe you are having a belief problem. Maybe it's not just, I believe, I'm just not acting it out. Maybe it is a belief problem. And there are plenty of people in the Bible who told God, forgive me for my unbelief. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you do believe and you're just not growing in the faith. And my prayer for you is that you would start loving God, because that's step one. Start loving God and get into his word because you love him. Go to church because you love him. Pray to him, talk to him because you love him. Serve people because you love God. Not because you're a quote unquote Christian, but because you love Jesus. Allow that to be the overflow into the other actions that Christians are called to do. And so I am praying that you would find that in your life, that you wouldn't just believe, but you would believe, and then you would allow the gospel to change you.